Good afternoon. To me, it's a privilege to share my life and what the Lord has been speaking to me these few days. And I pray that the Lord himself speaks to you. As most of you might have known, I'm from Ghana. I came to the UK some few years ago, and I came here purposely to study. Then on my way one day to work, I saw an army advert. And they were asking for guys who are fit, guys who can do army stuff. So I took the challenge for myself. I believe that I've been doing most of the things that they were requiring us to, like in a selection. So I went to the office and I told them that I want to apply as an officer. Then they said, okay, do I have the qualifications? I brought all my qualifications and they check my age and they say, I'm far older than the age they require at the moment. So I asked them that, is there any way or is there anything I can do in the army? Because I think their requirements is actually nothing for me. So they said, okay, we're now recruiting people for Afghanistan and Iraq. So are you willing to go? You know, it's quite a shock that you met an officer who has to tell you something and is speaking to you warfare issues. You know, it's quite intimidating, but I told him I don't really mind. But my mind was that because I have a degree already, I could go in, then I could just switch on or maybe get transferred. But that never happened because it's just like to me, I think that they need people badly, that they will rather send you to the war front than to make you an officer to command people, because that's not what they are looking for. So I joined the army and I was very keen. I had my own, apart from our usual training program, I have my own training that I do myself. So that most of in the Mondays, they presume that you'll be drunk or you'll be lazy. So on the Mondays are very, very difficult. They try to really push you very hard. So in the weekends, actually, I don't go out. I rather train myself so that I beat everybody. So I was quite keen. Then there was one exercise we call Joint Warrior. It's an exercise that France, Germany, and the UK, we normally do it together. It's a NATO exercise that we do it. It's a warfare scenario that we run. So most of in we presume the exercise actually is just like if UK is to be attacked, what are we going to do? So we set the base, we set the scenario of you see the French being parachuted and you see the Germans attacking from different angles. So it was very interesting. But the striking, there was this time in the night around, I think 3 or 2 o'clock, and I was on my guard because we know that they will be attacking the night, because in the night when people are asleep, that's when the enemy actually attack. And I was in this my position ready. Then I heard a little voice which I wasn't sure of anyway, that it says that if you can watch over my people, I'm going to look after you. So I got so excited. And in the morning after the exercise, I spoke to one of the soldiers. I believe he was a Christian. I think the Lord has spoken to me. But he said, you are always telling us stories about what the Lord is doing. So he never took me serious, but I took it very serious. And I've been asking God, so when do you want me to leave this army? So the opportunity came that we were deployed to Belfast. And I think that was the right time for me to leave the army. And I was asking God, God, so where do you want me to stay? Or where do you want me to settle? Then, I don't know, all of a sudden I met an army officer here who did the paperwork and got me a house, because that was our prayers, that if you want me to stay in this place, get me a house, a very good house. So that officer actually helped me go a house. And I was also asking God, where do you want to plant me, like in a church? And lo and behold, God has placed me here, and I'm so blessed to be among your midst. And I love you all, and It is a privilege actually to stand here and share part of my life with you, and I truly value your time and your attention, your love, because a lot of people have been talking about you, if you don't know anyway. Everybody says you are fantastic, and I believe so. So, okay, let me first start by a letter I received from my commander-in-chief. He will be surprised that he is my commander-in-chief anyway. On the Tuesday, 21st of November 2017, I received a letter just after I came from work. It reads, "Dear all, if you feel the Church of England, if you feel the Church of England's guidelines to schools is wrong, please consider signing this petition to Justin Welbill." And I think it was written by Tom anyway, to all of us. And I believe that it's a time that we Christians, we should stand for what we believe in. We have been so quiet most often, and I consider that the Lord wants us, the Lord is calling for intercessors for this generation, for all of us, for our community, because it would be a shame that your next door neighbor can't make it to heaven because that person never believed in Jesus Christ. And to me, I started looking at the world history, and I realized that Israel is one of the richest country in history and in the knowledge of God, but they couldn't hold on to the task that the Lord has given them to do. Then the Lord actually, through Israel, brought the church into place for the church to take that mantle, but the church in the history also followed the Lord in one way or the other, based on human tradition. And UK, for instance, when I was very young, I actually read a lot about UK. I wanted to come to UK. I wanted to see people, because most of our missionaries in Africa came from the UK. So it's like you are coming to heaven, if I should put it. Yes, of course, you know. So I came here, and the story was different, and I became very sad. Then I asked myself, what went wrong? What didn't we do right? Then this scripture jumped to me, that is in Matthew 13, 24 and 30. Jesus presented another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and slept away. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't we sow good seed in our field? Where then did the weeds come from?' Then that's 28. "An enemy did this," he replied. So the servant asked, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 29. "No," he said. "If you pull the weeds now, you might uproot the wheat with it, or with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. At the proper time, I will tell you the harvesters. I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in a band and bend them and gather the wheat into their barn." So I believe that that's the exact situation that we found ourselves when we were asleep. We were so busy with world affairs. We were so busy in thinking about other people's issues. And our own household has been left unattended, and the enemy sowed seed. And this kind of letter I received from my commander-in-chief is actually something that you can't just imagine that it's happening to a nation that was once a Christian nation. That's you know, I totally believe that UK or Britain is a Christian nation, but when you listen to the debates on the TV, they claim that it's not. It used to be Christian nation, but that's not what our forefathers did. All the ethos and all the values of the army, they were all from the Bible. Then how come we claim that we are not a Christian nation? Something went wrong somewhere. So we're going to read the book of Esther and pick up some salient points and discuss Esther a little bit. We're not going to do it that much, But I believe that we're going to see how Esther dealt with a weed called how Esther dealt with the weed that actually wanted to destroy the whole of Israel, even when they were in exile. You see, they were in exile because of disobedience, and even in their exile, the enemy wanted to destroy them totally. So I'm going to read Esther 5, 1 and 3. Now it came to pass in the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon the royal throne in the royal house, over against the gates of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What would thou, King Esther? And what is thy request? I shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." So Esther was among those who were in exile, and it happens that a position came for her to be a queen. So she was in that position until Mordecai saw the need that Esther has to use the position she has to actually liberate their people. And you could see that I have seen Esther to be somebody that could have easily said, "I'm not concerned because I'm under the care of the king." But you never know. That was what Mordecai told Esther, that you never know. Even if you refuse, we believe that salvation will come from somewhere. But what about you? See? So in that way, I have seen that Esther actually put aside all her pride, if I should call it, or her role as a queen, and she put aside her needs, and she decided to petition for all other people, including her own household. And I also believe that it was the voice of Mordecai that actually prompted her that you have to do something about this case. You have to do something about this case. So for us as Christians, we may in this case, we don't have Mordecai to speak to us, but we have the Holy Spirit. And what Esther did as in her approach to the king, we're going to learn something very simple from that perspective. Esther actually knew the queen because knew the king because the king was her husband. But Esther humbled herself, approached the king in a way that she believed that even if I go and die, because the Lord never permitted me to go, but if I go and die or I perish because of my people. But I thank God that mercy actually overruled the law, and the king has favor. The king actually has that kind of heart which was softened because of the presence of Esther. But normally, you could read from the background that Esther before that prayed and fasted. But besides that, she has to take the step, because our prayers has to be back with our actions that we take. Prayer life and our life must go hand in hand. Amen. None of it should be left beside or behind. We pray and we take steps. That's why as soon as I saw this letter, I have to also sign to that and make sure that our voice was heard. So she humbled herself, she prayed, and she seek the face of the king. And the Lord, by his own mercy, brought deliverance to the people. And I believe also that all our friends on the street or all our neighbors, most of them need this kind of intercessory rule, which maybe we might have forgotten to do. And intercession is very, very expensive, or is very, very difficult. Esther's account shows that she kept on going to the king until the last enemy was destroyed, and which is I think will be very tedious for us to do. We pray, we expect it to happen, it never happened, we gave up. But that wasn't what Esther did. She made sure that the last enemy, which was the last enemy who wanted to destroy them, was actually destroyed before she resigned from all this kind of action. So the tax is on us again, and as I promised, I'm not going to keep that long, but I'm going to read again from Ezekiel 22:30. So this is what the Lord, I believe that sometimes the Lord gets so, if I should say, sad when he's speaking to us and we don't take actions. So I have seen this in this verse that the Lord spoke through Ezekiel, which is 22:30. See, so I sought for a man among them who should make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, and that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I believe that it's a sad moment when the Lord speaks to us and he wants us to take action, he wants us to see what is happening, and we interceding for others, and we seems that it doesn't really care. I don't really care, it doesn't really matter. I have had my savior, or I have believed in the Lord, and I'm waiting for Jesus Christ to come and I will go to heaven. But I believe that you will be sad, even the person you think is your enemy. If you see the gap, you in heaven and that person is crying, just like the story we had in the Bible about the rich man and Lazarus. Yes, you could see that you see them screaming or asking you for help, but you can't. And that time is now when we have to intercede. And our intercession, we have to back it with actions. Those of our friends or those pastors who are on the streets are doing fantastic work. Those people like Claire who are on the mission field are really doing very good work. And we have to back them with our prayers. We have to back them with our finances. We have to back them with all that we can, because we are not in that position. I believe that sometimes it can be very frustrating, it can be very distress for them, but we here have to also do our little bit in reaching out to our own community, reaching out to our friends, and making sure that all that the Lord has put on our heart is accomplished. Because sometimes I sit down and I ask God, are you not God? Can't you touch them to become who you want them to become? Can't you touch them to become Christians? But the Lord is also, because we are in partnership, if I should put it, the Lord is looking for our input in that. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in us can do great things, but sometimes we don't really know. So I am beseeching you all that the task is great, the intercessory role is great, and the Lord is raising an army in these last days, and I want to be part of it. And I believe that you too, you want to be part of it. In your little crusades, remember people around you, remember your community, remember the ministers, remember the government, because they are in a very difficult situation. I believe that this letter was actually a pressure from somewhere that they have to do something about this. You see, they want to include everybody in the society, and in a way they deviate from what the Lord has called them to do. So I believe that they are in a very, very difficult situation. They compromise a lot, and which in a way is also taking their country in a different direction. So to round everything up, I want us to pray. We'll pray here as individuals. I don't want any of us to pray for our own needs, which are very legitimate that we should do. But at this moment, I want us to just relax ourselves, humble ourselves, empty ourselves, and pray for something that you never pray for or you never pray about. Pray for the next door neighbor. Pray for the street person that you see. Pray for your community. Pray that the Lord himself should touch people around. And I pray that anyone the Lord has spoken to you to speak to somebody, I pray that the Lord should give you that boldness to approach the person, because you never know. That person has been expecting your message all this while, but you don't have the confidence to speak. You'll be praying for the person, but sometimes I believe that we have to go and speak to the person. So we're going to pray, and let's just pray. If you can speak in tongues, if you can speak in any language, but please let's pray now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for who you are. We thank you because you are King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you brought us into this kingdom a time like this. We could never have come into this kingdom 100 years ago or 2,000 years ago. This is our time. And I believe strongly that for this reason we were born. And for this reason, you made us part of this kingdom. But Father, sometimes we get worried with circumstances. We get worried with our own needs. We get worried with our comfort that we refuse to hear your voice. Sometimes even when we hear, to take the step is a very difficult one. I pray that because you have the Holy Spirit in us, we pray that quicken our mortal bodies and let us do everything that you put on our heart. Every second counts at this moment. Somebody's life is on the line. Father, I pray that you implant in us the spirit of intercession, oh God. That, Father, we will intercede until the last thing that you drop in our spirit is accomplished. Father, I pray, oh God, even for Claire, even for street pastors like Joanne, and others that we don't know, they are on the battlefield. They are in the front line. And the devil throw things at them just to discourage them. But we pray for your support. We pray for your anointing. That your shield will always be around them. You be, oh God, a light for them in the darkness. And in the night, a pillar of cloud, oh God. You will surround them, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray even for our next door neighbors. We even pray for our community. Father, we know and we have read it in history that there was a time that people prayed, and people who even go to clubs, people who even go to pubs and those things, they lost interest, and there was no job for the police. Father, we believe that it is still possible. Miracles are still possible at this moment in Jesus' name. We pray that, Father, touch lives, touch the heart of people, oh God, touch our government. That, Father, they will stand for the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.